A blue shield floats among fluffy clouds. Warner Brothers Pictures spans the shield in gold lettering, a Time Warner Entertainment Company. A blue light skates into an R. Regency.
2 o'clock in Memphis. WHBQ, George Bond.
Warner Brothers presents.
Back to the light.
Watch out for
my
dark.
Watch out for my
brother. You need
more. I can watch out for myself.
Can't I? Don't
worry,
Mom. I'll take care
of it. You always have to watch out for me.
Because I'm older, stupid.
Mom, you're going to be stupid again.
Y'all shut.
The client.
Don't be reading any more of them scary comics. You hear me, Ricky?
Whatever.
You can't sleep.
A purse falls on a bed.
I'm going to miss my bus. I'm going to be late again. Docked for sure.
A boy spies cigarettes in the purse.
There's you some macaroni and cheese in the cabinet, okay?
All right. Got your lunch?
Thank you, baby.
Keys?
Yeah.
Exact change for the bus.
Oh, shoot, baby, thank you. Get my head, but wouldn't screw down.
He takes a cigarette. A blonde boy watches with surprise.
You stay out of them woods.
Okay, Mom.
Hear me, Mark.
Mark shakes his head at the blonde boy, Ricky.
Mm. Come on, Mark. Give me a cigarette.
No way.
Mark, wait.
Wait, kid. I'll give you one.
Mark and Ricky run out of a trailer park and pass some train tracks.
Catch me.
They run through a wooded area.
Wait up, Mark.
Better hurry or I'll never get to smoke.
We're not supposed to go in the woods.
Go home. I'm smoking myself.
They run along a sandy bank next to a creek.
Come on, Ricky!
Catch me!
Come on, give me one!
No way!
Tell! I tell Mom!
Tell!
They go between some trees.
You know the deal?
Yeah.
If I catch you smoking more than one a day,
kick my butt again.
That's right.
A rundown bridge spans a muddy creek.
How many do you smoke a day?
Only one. I'm smart.
One a day kill me?
No, any more than that, and you could be in deep trouble.
Well, how many does Mom smoke?
40.
Whoa. And what about Dad?
100 a day.
Well, he's gonna die soon, huh?
I wish. Sit there.
He points to a spot on the ground as he pulls a cigarette from his shirt pocket.
Now, don't try to swallow the smoke yet, because I know you're not ready for that. You'll just choke and puke all over the place.
Mark lights the cigarette in his mouth and gives it to Ricky.
Suck a little and blow.
Ricky puffs on it and grimaces.
Told you not to swallow the smoke.
As he lights another cigarette, Ricky takes more drags.
This is easy.
Yeah, that's why you look like you're gonna puke.
A dark-colored Cadillac emerges from the woods. Mark throws down the cigarettes. Ricky watches the car. It drives past the boys and through some trees.
Where's he going?
A license plate with a Confederate flag is on the front of the car. It stops. Mark and Ricky peer up from the deep creek bank to watch the car's movements. The car's trunk pops open.
What's he doing?
The boys crawl through the brush and lie close to the ground to watch.
Damn.
His face obscured by thick foliage, a large man gets out of the Cadillac and goes to the trunk. He's wearing a suit with suspenders and carrying a handkerchief.
Damn.
He pulls out an orange hose from the trunk and stuffs it in the exhaust pipe with the handkerchief. He takes a plastic bag from the trunk, grabs the opposite end of the hose, and shuts the trunk. As the boys watch, the man climbs back into the car and runs the hose between the door and the window.
He's trying to kill himself.
How do you know?
I seen it on TV once.
Well, why do you think he wants to kill himself?
How am I supposed to know, stupid?
Well, let's get the hell out of here.
No, you stay here. Okay, if you move, I'll kick your face.
What are you gonna do?
Mark slowly crawls on his stomach toward the back of the car.
Mark!
He keeps crawling. The man leans his head back and takes deep breaths. The hose is still closed in the driver's window. As Ricky grimaces, Mark crawls to the exhaust pipe and pulls out the hose and handkerchief. He crawls back to Ricky.
Let's go.
No. We gotta make sure he's okay.
You think he's dead?
Don't know.
The man looks at the hose, then gets out. He sees the hose and handkerchief on the ground.
Nothing works.
He shoves the hose and handkerchief back in the exhaust pipe.
He is crazy as hell.
The man bumps into a tree branch as he gets into his car. He takes a drink.
Down.
Let's go, Marky, please. Come on.
No, we can't. If he kills himself, we know anything about it.
We won't tell no one. Slam down.
No, you're not leaving until I say.
Ricky grabs Mark's arm as he starts toward the car again. There's a tear on Ricky's cheek. As Mark comes out of the thick brush, the man sees him in his side mirror. Pulls Mark around.
Brett!
Ricky covers his head. The man pushes Mark into the car. Ricky cries as he watches.
Don't get the dog!
He locks the car. Ricky looks around him and cries.
Sorry, kid. Had to stick your dirty little nose in my business, didn't you?
The man's ring cut Mark's face.
I think we should die together. Just you and me, pal. Off to La La Land.
He blows a kiss to Mark.
Sweet dreams.
Mark looks at the hose. The other end is still stuffed into the exhaust. Ricky lies on the ground, hanging his head.
What's your name?
Mark. Mark Foy.
Jerome Clifford, attorney at law. So, since we are both pretty tight right now, call me Romy.
They shake hands as Mark stares at him.
Shh. Listen. You hear that bird? I drove all the way from New Orleans to hear those stupid birds. Grew up here. Played in these woods. Now I'm gonna die here too.
Mark sees a blue skull keychain as Romy takes another drink.
Doing this.
Because if I don't kill myself, he will.
Who's he?
The Blade. Bury the Blade, Maldonado.
Wow. This is like I'm gonna kill you.
Romy swallows a lot of pills with his next drink. Mark sees a pistol on a seat next to a prescription bottle.
I know where the proverbial body is buried.
Whose body?
Crying, Ricky slowly creeps to the car.
See, my client killed Senator Boyette and hid the body. So now my client, he wants to kill me. You know where the body's buried? Body is buried. He hid the body.
Ricky continues crawling. He stops and drops his head.
It's still buried there. You believe it? They haven't found it yet. FBI's dug up half an army. They haven't found it. They're not going to find it. No way.
Mark grabs the gun and points it at Romy.
Yeah, Mark, go for it.
Ricky continues to the car. Mark scrunches his face as he points the pistol between Romy's eyes. Romy takes the gun.
Pretty nifty piece, huh? Oh, well, I don't even know if it works.
As Ricky stops near the tailpipe, Romy fires a shot past Mark's ear. Mark jumps out. Mark looks for Ricky. Ricky's balled up by the back of the car.
Ricky, damn you, come on!
Hey, Mark!
Mark pulls Ricky through the woods. With the gun in his hand, Romy falls out of his car. Mark drops Ricky down the creek bank.
Hey! Where are you? Damn cat! Hey!
Ricky hides his face as Mark holds him tightly.
Mark!
Romy's at the top of the embankment.
Come back here, kid! Now the blade finds out what I told you, he's gonna kill you anyway! Hear me, kid! Mark! Where are you?
Romy stands at the edge of the embankment and looks over the water. Mark looks at his brother. Romy lifts his arm and points the gun to his head. A knife stabs a cherry in a glass. A man with a gold tooth bites it off the knife. He's wearing a green suit with no shirt, a long necklace, and a dangling earring. He closes the knife and looks at his watch. He stands. A sign behind him reads Desire. He walks past a blonde waitress.
Put my drink on the bill, babe.
All right.
He leaves the bar and steps onto a crowded New Orleans street. He walks to the opposite side of the street. A video camera records him as he reaches for a woman's hand and sees boys tap dancing. He dances briefly before high-fiving one of the boys. He turns to look at two men in suits, one who is holding the video camera. He smiles and they look at each other. He steps into a building and they follow. Inside an office, a woman turns off a lamp as the gold-toothed man enters.
Been waiting a lousy half hour. Where the hell's Romy?
Hi, Mr. Montano. I don't know. He hadn't been in here all day.
She walks behind a desk.
Now, Claudette, God hates a liar. That's what my mother always said.
I'm not lying. Honest to God, I haven't seen him. I don't know where he is.
You know, Claudette, you're a very pretty woman.
Thank you, Mr. Muldano.
He pulls out the knife and holds it in front of her.
Now you want to stay pretty, don't you?
I'm just a secretary. Listen, honest to God, I don't know where he is. He doesn't always tell me where he's going.
Put your hand in there.
He opens a file drawer.
Put your hand in here!
I don't know. Honest.
Shh. Put your hand in. Come on, put it in.
Please, I don't know where he is.
She holds her hand over the files. Then pulls it away just as he slams the drawer shut. He smiles, closes the knife, then leaves.
You know, Claudette, I believe you really didn't know where he was.
It's dusk as police officers put Romy's body on a stretcher. Mark watches from the woods and investigators inspect Romy's car trunk. Someone picks up one of the cigarettes off the ground.
There you go.
Watch yourself.
Mark watches from a short distance as Romy's body is loaded into an ambulance. Mark frowns when a flashlight is turned on him.
What's up, kid?
A balding officer standing over him in the trailer.
What are you so scared of, huh? Do you have a bed dream? You're scaring your mom. Get your thumb out.
She gets a towel and hugs Ricky, who's huddled with his eyes open and his thumb in his mouth. Mark comes in.
Where have you been? What the hell is wrong with your brother?
The balding officer enters.
Oh, what have you done now? What the hell is going on?
Boys witnessed a suicide, man.
Hey, what? Oh, well, me and Ricky was just...
The officer goes to Ricky.
Out in the woods playing, we seen this guy, and he was dead, and he had a gun in his mouth.
Oh, my dear God.
And I ran home and called 911.
But what happened to Ricky?
Well, he just laid on the bed and started sucking his thumb and wouldn't tell
him. Hey, Sergeant Hardy, we need the paramedics over here at Sway's trailer now. This boy needs to be hospitalized.
I don't have health insurance.
Well, that's okay. St. Peter's will take the indigent cases. Just pack up some few things and put them just in the bag for the hospital tonight.
It's dark as Mark and the officer follow an ambulance in a squad car. Mark dabs the cut on his cheek.
Are you telling the truth, son? About what y'all saw?
Don't you believe me?
Well, I didn't say I didn't believe you. Just seems strange, that's all. You called 911, but you wouldn't leave your name.
Well, I was scared. It was the first dead guy I ever saw.
Why you sneak back and hide up in the woods where I found you?
I don't know. I just wanted to see, I guess.
Did you talk to the man before he killed himself?
No, I never talked to him.
The name Jerome Clifford mean anything to you?
No.
You know, I found some fresh cigarette butts near the body. Same brand as your mom smokes. Somehow I can't see you finding the body and then deciding to have a cigarette.
Look, officer, all that happened was we was just walking through the woods and we found Romy dead. That's all.
Who's Romy?
That's the guy's name, ain't it?
I said Jerome Clifford. Who ever heard of the name Romy?
Mark turns away. They pull up beside the ambulance in front of St. Peter Charity Hospital. Inside, a painting of Elvis hangs next to the words Elvis Presley Memorial Wing. Mark and his mom follow as Ricky is rushed on a stretcher down a hallway.
Hello, I'm Dr. Greenway. Is this your son?
Yeah, he's my son.
What's his name?
Ricky Sway.
How long has he been this way?
I didn't find him. My other boy, Mark.
You found him, Mark?
Special News Channel 3 recording.
Mark sees a TV.
Jerome R. Clifford, New Orleans attorney, was found dead in an apparent suicide outside Memphis just hours ago. The famed mafia lawyer was due to defend the alleged mafia hitman, Barry the Blade Muldano, next month in the increasingly notorious case of still-missing Louisiana Senator Boyd Boyette, now presumed dead.
It was going to be tough enough to build a case against Muldano without a body, but surely Clifford's death will mean more delays. As one informed source tells me, the plot
thickens and sickens for U.S. Attorney Roy Boltrick.
No body, no case, no conviction.
And that means no front page pictures that Attorney Boltrick likes so much.
No CNN interviews, no speedy ascent to Capitol Hill. Sorry, Reverend Roy.
I never liked that old pal.
We're here, Roy.
Roy and his men step out of a limousine.
Now, apparently he tried it first with a garden hose attached to the tailpipe, but for some reason it didn't work. It was probably too stoned.
He was full of downers and about a gallon of whiskey.
So I guess he figured he'd swallow a bullet for dessert. Single gunshot wound to the head. Cheap snub nose 38.
That's a definite suicide, Roy.
Damn him. I called Romy 2 days ago. I said to him, Romy, I have enough evidence to pierce client attorney privilege and put you on the stand. I was just trying to get him nervous. If he'd talk, I didn't know he'd get so damn nervous and blow his scalp off. He must have known where that body's at, y'all.
Well, he's never going to tell us now, is he? Without that body, we got no case.
How's the weather in Memphis, Elrod?
It's hot, Roy.
They climb onto a private plane. The balding officer, Sergeant Hardy, holds a Sprite can in front of Mark. He looks at Hardy, then takes the drink.
What happened to your face?
Got in a fight. School.
It's summer. There's no school.
I mean, a kid from my school.
Who was a kid?
Why?
Why? Because I'm a cop. It's my job to ask questions. Besides, I think your story's full of holes. I believe you were in that car before Clifford died.
What does indigent mean?
Indigent? That means poor. Like you and your mother and your little brother. So you better tell the truth. Hope it snaps him out of it. Otherwise, he could lie in some institution for dirt poor crazy people with padded walls and cockroaches. And chained to some filthy bed with snakes.
A blonde nurse approaches.
Mark, I'm Karen. Will you come with me?
She holds out her hand. Mark takes it and smiles at the sergeant as they walk away.
Bye.
Bye.
Dr. Greenway is with Ricky and his mom. Karen brings Mark in, then leaves.
We're just going to have to watch him through the night.
What are you going to do?
Well, we're just going to watch for now. You know, sometimes just a good night's sleep, and the next morning they wake up, they don't know what's going on. His reflexes seem to be good.
That's good.
Yeah, I don't think we have any...
Mark, honey, Ricky's real sick.
What's the matter with him?
It's called post-traumatic stress syndrome. Sometimes a person sees something they just can't deal with.
I'm always telling Mark, no horror movies, no scary comics. Not for Ricky. He's always been tender that way.
Easy now.
Mark turns to see the sergeant carefully put the Sprite can into a plastic bag.
Why don't you just lie down and get some rest yourself? There's nothing more you can do. We're just going to watch him through the night. You've had a rough day. This has been a rough day. Just lie down here. You stay with him.
Mark runs out of the room, then watches as the sergeant gets on an elevator. Mark frowns. Hardy smiles as the doors close. Mark goes to a waiting area where a man in a hospital gown and robe is talking to another man in a suit.
My name's Gil Beal. I'm a lawyer. You got a problem? I can fix it. I specialize in car wrecks, especially large trucks. Let's see what you got. A broken leg, a concussion, a couple of busted ribs.
And a broken collarbone.
Great. I can get you at least $600,000. We'll file suit tomorrow.
The man in the wheelchair rolls away.
Did I say six? Well, six is just for starters. Here, check me out. Call up Gil Beale. You'll see who's for real.
Well, lawyers around this place and there are doctors.
Mar picks up the dropped flyer with the lawyer's picture on it. It's night as a trolley passes under a bridge. A gray limo pulls in front of the Clifford County Federal Building. Ray and his men get out of the car. A man in a light-colored suit jacket approaches them.
Wait till you get a load of this guy.
All right. Mr. Foltrick, Jason McThune, FBI. Welcome to Memphis. Home of the King, City of the Good Abode.
What do you know, MacThune?
Kid's name is Mark Sway. He told Memphis PD that he and his younger brother just stumbled on the body in the woods and then turned and ran and called the cops. I think he's lying.
Why is that?
Well, we lifted a set of his prints off a can at the hospital and they matched prints that were all over the car, inside and out. I think he was in that car with Clifford before Clifford shot himself, and he was there for quite a while because of the sheer number of the prints.
Why would the kid lie?
Well, one, he's scared, two, he's a kid. They always lie. Adults are the enemy, remember? And three, maybe Romy Clifford told him something that he knows he should not know. People hate to die with secrets. That's good work, McThune.
Thank you very much, sir. Right. I'm going to keep it up, believe me. Sure. Listen, I'm sick and tired of chasing Elvis sightings. You know, I want to get out of here. Is there any room on your staff?
Where do you want to go, McThune?
Anywhere you go, sir.
Got to do something about that hair first.
Yes, sir.
Meantime, I want to talk to that child.
Yes, sir. Right away,
all
sir.
Right.
No, I don't know nothing, but he looks better to me. I think if you get him home and get him his own bed, he's going to be fine. I don't know why you just can't give him some medicine or something, can't you? Can't you just give him
Mrs.
a shot or something? I got to go to work. Our trailer park takes rent by the week.
Listen to me. Right now, it's as if Ricky is in a dark place, and he's trying to find a way out. Now, what's very important, listen to me, what's very important is that when he finds that way out, the first thing he sees is your face. Let's hope it'll only take a day or two.
She rolls her eyes.
There goes another job. Must be damn near setting some kind of record.
I'll call your employer. I'm sure he's going to understand.
My employer runs a sweatshop, Doctor. He will not send flyers. He will not understand.
You could take shifts. Perhaps the father could
come in. Ex-father! And you keep him away from Ricky. Now hush! Damn, Mom, I'm sorry.
The doctor pulls out a newspaper.
I don't know if you've seen this, but there are policemen downstairs and reporters. The FBI is coming to interview Mark at 10.
Mom, I don't want to talk to him. I want to wind up like Ricky if they don't stop bugging me.
They're not going to go away.
Look, I don't give a flying sack about the FBI.
Boy, you are getting on my last nerve. Now, would you sit down and hush up? Well, I don't know what the hell to do.
Can I see you outside?
Look, I'm losing my mind telling me to wait for my boy to have some crap.
The doctor and Karen leave, and she rubs Ricky's shoulder.
Mom, this boy, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too.
I'll think of something to get us out of this, I promise.
Hey, you and Ricky just found that guy dead. Right? Come on, there's nothing you ain't telling me, is there?
Dr. Greenway wants to start you on Valium, Mrs. Sway.
Those cost extra?
Yeah, don't worry about that. Just take these here.
The both of them?
Both of them. And you'll start feeling a lot better.
Hey, don't go far.
Okay, Mom.
He runs into the hall but stops.
FBI, huh? You know, I hear that they're sending the Reverend Roy Foltrigg himself. That's bad. You know that the FBI puts kids in jail if they break the law. And if a kid has been involved in a murder, they got a special little kid-sized electric chair. I saw it once. It was about so high. Did you know that when somebody gets electrocuted, the current is so strong, it makes the blood in the veins boil. Oh, God. Fry up just like a piece of bacon.
You're the only pig around here.
Oh. We'll see you later, Marcus.
Mark runs down the hall. It's daytime as the limousine stops in front of the hospital. Reporters crowd the car as Roy gets out. Mark emerges from a door and runs down some stairs. He stops to watch Roy talking to the reporters.
My real interest is to see justice done. Each and every one of you knows that about me.
Mark looks at the lawyer's flyer, then runs down the street.
You can count on it.
What do you think Mark's
place is? A haze has settled over Memphis. Mark runs across the street, passing parked cars and people on a sidewalk. He looks up at a tall building and goes inside. He reads the directory, goes to the name G. Beale, and puts his hand under number 319. He starts down a hall, then turns and goes the other direction. He starts to enter a crowded office, but stops in the doorway when he sees a woman sitting at a reception desk.
You ain't the only one here by yourself.
Hey, I've got it.
What do you want, boy?
I need to see Mr. Beale.
Where are your parents?
Where are yours?
Are you even injured?
Do I look injured?
Well, we only do injuries.
Well, I'll just go get hit by a truck and come back.
He leaves the office.
Y'all shut up, too.
He opens the office door of a wrongful death attorney and sees a man at a desk.
Yes.
Hell no.
He approaches a door reading Reggie Love, attorney, divorce, domestic, and child custody. He reaches for the door when it opens. A man backs out, not seeing Mark behind him.
I'm gonna pick up something to eat, and then I'm gonna swing by the post office.
All right.
The man leaves with envelopes under his arm. Mark goes inside. A red-haired woman is standing in a windowsill in her bare feet.
Hey, when's your boss coming back?
May I help you?
No, I need to see Reggie Love.
Why, may I ask?
Well, that's between me and Mr. Love.
I'm Reggie Love.
Mark turns away.
A woman lawyer. Oh, great.
I think so. Now, why is it you think you want a lawyer?
I don't want a lawyer. I hate lawyers. Every lawyer I ever had just shafted me and my mom. I said I need a lawyer. But I don't know about no woman.
Well, this lawyer that shafted you, what was her name?
Wasn't no her. It was a he.
Right. Well, why is it that you think you need a lawyer?
Because I'm Mark Slade.
So?
You know, the kid who found the dead guy, I'm famous. Don't you read the paper?
You still haven't answered my question.
Because I'm supposed to talk to some Reverend Roy guy in 10 minutes.
Reverend Roy Foltry?
Yeah, why does everybody call him that?
Because he loves to quote scriptures in court, and he knows the Bible better than God himself.
Does he win a lot?
Always.
Why can't everyone just leave me alone? I mean, some sweaty fat guy blows his head off.
Why did you lie to the police?
I didn't.
Well, it says here in this paper that you found your own Clifford dead.
I did.
Uh-huh. Dead men don't sweat. Now, do they?
He lowers his head and purses his lips. She stares at him.
If you was my lawyer, and I told you something, could you ever repeat it?
No. What is it you want to tell me?
Well, that Clifford guy came driving up in his big black car, and me and Ricky, we snuck up to watch. And that Clifford guy got out, and he put a gun in his mouth, and he blew the back of his head out.
So you did see Jerome Clifford alive?
Yeah.
Why'd you lie to the police?
I don't know. I mean, I was just scared, I guess. I mean, my little brother's in a coma. My mom might lose her job. The FBI's after me, but I don't know nothing. You would lie, too.
Well, you're right. You do need a lawyer, Mark Sway. There are a few male lawyers down the hall. You want me to recommend one?
How many cases have you won?
More than I lost.
How much do you cost?
How much you got?
He digs in his pocket and drops a crinkled dollar bill on the desk. She looks at the dollar, then at Mark. A silver sports car speeds past warehouses near water. The two men with a camera are sitting in a car in a garage.
9:32, our boy has arrived.
Barry pulls into a warehouse and climbs out of the car. A man with silver hair drops a newspaper on a desk. He glares at Barry. Two others are in the room as well.
Thank God your mother, my sister, is dead, Barry. Having a son this stupid would have killed her for sure.
I told you not to hit Boyette.
You did.
I told you not to tell Romy too much. You did.
I hope it hurt that fat bozo.
I hope that bullet was slow. I hope he felt the top of his head pull right off his ugly face.
Two kids found him, Barry. Maybe before he finished the job.
Yeah, I know. I seen it on TV.
There's a chance he might have talked.
Now tell me Boyette's body somewhere the cops can't find it.
The cops are not going to find the body.
Move the body, Barry.
I will, Uncle Johnny. Only I can't right now.
Why?
Where it's at? Your body? The cops are swarming all over the place. Don't worry about anything. They're not going to find the body. If that kid knows anything, he's not talking. Otherwise, I won't be standing here. I'm going down to Memphis, and I'm going to take care of those kids.
I tell you what you do. You just sit on your dumb butt. Gronky.
Mm-hmm.
I want you in Memphis.
Uh-huh.
Gronky, a man with a mole over his left eye, smokes a cigarette.
Come.
Mark enters a room in the hospital where Roy and others are waiting.
Oh, you must be Mark.
Hi, Mark. Jason McThune, Memphis FBI. This is Larry Truman from New Orleans FBI. It's Thomas Fink, Assistant United States Attorney, and Mr. Foltrig, United States Attorney, both from Southern Louisiana.
Sit down, son.
Roy drinks from a carton of milk.
Why don't we hear, Mark? Yeah.
Mark sits across from the men.
We expected your mother, Mark. Where is she?
She's upstairs with my little brother. She can't leave in case he wakes up.
One of the men starts a tape recorder.
But, you know, we could hold this off for a couple of days.
No, Mark, let's talk a few minutes just to us.
They stare at each other.
You nervous?
A little. Don't I need a lawyer?
What for?
To protect my rights.
Oh.
I'm watching too much TV.
We just, you know, want to ask you some questions. You can trust us, man.
Lawyer's just getting away. You got to pay him money and they object to everything.
What happens if I don't answer your questions?
Well, we might have to take you downtown. Might have to take your mother, too.
My mother get in trouble.
Maybe.
You ever hear of obstruction of justice, Mark? It's a federal offense. It means if a man knows something about a crime and he withholds information from the FBI or the police, well, he might be punished. You know, he's sent to jail, something like that.
So what you're trying to say is if I don't answer your questions, I could go to jail?
Maybe.
The men stare at Mark.
God, man, if y'all was in my place, wouldn't y'all want a lawyer?
You got nothing to hide. You don't need a lawyer.
Jerome Clifford wasn't really dead when you found him, was he, Mark?
Yes, he was.
We know. You were in that car, Mark.
Roy holds up the bag with the Sprite can.
You see that?
He drops it on the table.
You and Romy Clifford had a nice long chat, didn't you? What y'all talk about? You talk about life, you talk about love. Y'all talk about what bodies are buried.
I have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, well, just answer the question first, please, Mark.
I've got to go bad, please.
Well, you better go.
He runs out.
You don't need no stinking lawyer.
Hell no. This boy about ready to tell all. You know what Maldonado's at?
Yeah, we're on there 24 hours.
So. You better reach out and grab him so we don't skip town.
Wally, I need
you. Go mark up his face. Somewhere. I believe we can do the press conference right here, Wally.
Just hold on until we grab Maldonado. I want to make sure those affidavits are set so we can't make bail.
Did you get my makeup off the airplane? I'm going to eat pancake number 17. I don't want to look too George. Donuts. Donuts. Give me a telephone. Press loves coffee and donuts. See what you can do about that. And where are we going to put me, Wally? Down here by the flags? I think I look best in front of these glass bricks right here behind a big bank of microphones. That always looks nice.
I'll call you back.
Come in, Mark.
Polite kid.
Yeah, good boy.
Reggie enters and the men stand.
Oh, keep your seats.
We're in a meeting here.
Excuse me, ma'am. I think you're in the wrong room.
I don't think so. My name is Reggie Love. I'm an attorney, and I represent Mark Sway.
Roy hides the can.
May I see some ID, please?
When did he hire you?
I don't think that's really any of your business now, is it? Thank you.
You're going to have to forgive us, Ms. Love. You're so pretty. How could anybody mistake you for a lawyer?
Please call me Reggie.
Reggie.
Roy.
Yeah.
Did you, in fact... Oh, please sit down. Attempt to interrogate my client outside the presence of his mother, Jason?
No.
He tells me that you did, Lawrence.
Well, he's confused. We assumed his mother was on her way down. Where were you during this?
Well, that's not really relevant. Did you advise him that he should talk to an attorney, Thomas?
Yes. Yeah. Remember once, Larry, Mark said something, or I did, about TV, and then Mark said that he might need a lawyer, and I thought he was just joking.
So he never asked you guys if he needed a lawyer?
I don't remember it that way.
Well, did you advise him of his Miranda rights?
No, what for? He's not a criminal. We just wanted to ask him a few questions.
Oh, so you did attempt to interrogate him outside the presence of his mother and counsel?
No.
Definitely not.
No way.
Roy flicked something off of his pants leg.
Bull.
Tread carefully, Shell. We know your client lied about being in that car.
I think that's a bit of the pot calling the kettle black.
She reaches in her purse and removes a tape recorder.
I need a lawyer.
What for?
To protect my rights.
Watching too much TV.
I want to ask you some questions. You can trust us.
Roy's man quietly turns off his own recorder and puts it away.
What happens if I don't?
You whined at the kid.
Well, we might have.
It's nothing personal, Lawrence.
Your mother too.
You boys attempted to interrogate a child outside the presence of his mother without her consent. He specifically asked you if he needed a lawyer, and you said no. I'd like to confer with my client and meet with you people in my office tomorrow around, say, 3 o'clock. And if I need anything from you boys, like the truth, well, I expect to get it. If I catch you lying again, I'm going to use the tape.
She starts to leave.
That's blackmail, Miss Love.
Indict me, Reverend Roy.
He nods as she leaves.
Still want those donuts?
Shut up, McFadden.
You want a cigarette?
Oh, no, thanks. I just quit.
There's been a mistake, ma'am. We can't afford no lawyer.
Don't worry about the money.
My pig boss fired me this morning. I mean, my baby's in a coma and he fires me.
After
don't tell Mark.
Just one day he fired you. It's pig. Sucks. Wasn't much of a job anyways. $5 an hour at a lamp factory.
How long you been working there?
Huh?
How long you been working?
6 months. Lord, I can't keep my head on straight.
You're doing fine.
I like your ring. They real diamonds.
Lord, no, it's semi-precious.
You got kids?
Reggie pulls on her necklace.
Gosh, you must have been just a baby when you started having your babies. I was just a dumb kid, living in a dream. All I ever wanted was a white house with a walk-in closet. Ain't that stupid? No. Having a dream's never stupid. Take it one day at a time, that's what I say.
In Ricky's room, Mark is playing an air guitar. Ricky just stares straight ahead as he sucks his thumb.
Come on, Ricky, you always laugh at my air guitar. Who's the best guitarist in the whole world? Who? Come on, Ricky, say it. Yell it. Ricky, look at you. I shouldn't have made you stay in those woods. It's my fault. But things are gonna be all right, Ricky, I swear. I've got us a lawyer. And even though she is a woman, she's pretty darn good. She only costs a dollar, too. That's not it, though. I'm really sorry. I want to make it up to you. I promise.
A man takes pictures.
Hey!
Hi, Slick Moeller, Memphis Press. I wrote the story this morning. Say, how's your brother?
Get out of here.
How's your brother?
Get out.
It's the second son. I just want to ask you a few questions. Now,
get out.
Did Jerome Clifford touch you any place or something like that? Did he tell you why he's committed suicide? Did he?
Get out of here.
Did he talk to you at all?
Hey, get out.
Tell you what, I'll pay you.
A green and white cab stops in front of a small diner. Inside, a waitress sits alone at the counter. A man with long hair is sitting in a booth and talking on a cellular phone. A man wearing sunglasses approaches him.
Nance, private investigator.
Security specialist. Who's asking?
Gronke sits in the booth and removes his sunglasses. He's smoking a cigarette.
Name's Gronke. I need some fast work.
Who referred you?
It's Larry, New Orleans.
Nance takes a drag on a cigarette and sees the waitress and another woman watching them.
I get $2,000 cash, retainer, non-refundable before I lift a finger.
Gronke tosses clipped $100 bills on the table. Nance picks the money up. He has strands of barbed wire tattooed on his hand.
You like kids.
They eye each other. At the hospital, Mark uses a remote to flip channels on a television.
First thing we'll do is...
And a schedule to be finished.
So why do you think Folt took us up? Mark, we're almost through. Could you listen up, huh?
Pardon?
Thank you. Why do you think Folt was so convinced you were in Clifford's car?
I don't know.
You know, if I'm going to be your attorney, you have to trust me.
I do trust you, Reggie. I swear, I wasn't in that car.
She stares at him, then looks at his tie-dye Led Zeppelin t-shirt.
You like Led Zeppelin?
He looks down at his shirt.
Yeah. You like Led Zeppelin?
Oh, yeah, they were a great band.
I bet you never even heard of Led Zeppelin. You're probably one of them grown-ups who just say they like really cool bands just to get close to little punks like me.
Well, I think we've covered just about everything.
All right, what's your favorite Led Zeppelin song?
Moby Dick, live version.
He nods.
I'll pick you up tomorrow about 2:30, okay?
What were the names of the first four albums, Miss Groupie?
You just tell Reverend Roy what you told me, and that'll probably be the last we'll hear from him. Okay? Hmm?
What happens if you lie to the FBI?
It's a federal offense. In theory, you could go to jail. Why? You weren't smoking something besides cigarettes in that woods, were you?
No, ma'am.
Is there something you're not telling me?
I'm positive I'm not keeping something from you. I mean, I was just curious.
Okay.
She starts down the hall.
Oh, and the first Led Zeppelin albums were called 1, 2, and 3. The fourth, which is actually untitled, is generally referred to as 4. See you tomorrow, Groovy.
Mark watches an episode of Alice on the television. Nance is sitting in the lounge and moves closer to Mark.
We're friendly. Don't be afraid.
He opens an Elvis Pez dispenser and takes out a piece of candy.
Want one?
Huh?
Elvis Pezley.
Mark smiles and takes one.
Elvis Pezley. But it's poison.
He eats it.
She's funny, isn't she?
Yeah.
My boy loves her.
He touches his fingers to his forehead.
Sorry. My boy was in a car wreck. Drunk driver. Don't know if he's gonna make it. He's only 8.
My brother's only 8. And he's really sick.
What's wrong with him?
He saw something is all.
Nance stares at him.
You're not the kids who saw that suicide guy, are you?
Mm-hmm.
I seen it on TV. That must have been awful. Well, how's your brother doing?
He just lays there.
Man, oh man. What a scary thing for a kid to see.
I wasn't scared.
I mean, gee, he must have been out of his mind to stick a gun in his mouth like that. I mean, why?
Mm-hmm. Mark shrugs.
Would he... acting weird or yelling crazy and stuff.
Mark looks at the barbed wire tattoos on his hand.
Maybe he said something scary to your little brother. That could be.
Well, dude, I gotta go.
Mark leaves.
Well, I hope your brother gets better.
Yeah.
Nance pulls out a phone out of his coat pocket and dials. Gronky sits in a chair smoking a cigarette. Gronky stands. At night, an elevator door closes at the hospital. Steam rises in a back alley with stairs. A blonde-haired nurse sits at a nurse's station. The door to 712 is closed. Inside, a shadow moves across someone sleeping in a bed. The door slowly opens, and a figure enters the room. Mark stirs in his sleep. He sits up and looks at the window. He checks on Ricky, who has his eyes open and his thumb in his mouth. He steps into the hall and looks both ways. At one end is a statue in front of a stained glass window. He walks the other way toward the nurse who has her back to him. He grins as he approaches her.
Karen?
It's not Karen.
Where's Karen?
Off duty, hon. Get you anything?
Yeah, you got anything to eat around here?
Cafeteria's open 24 hours.
All right.
A hospital worker gets off the elevator with newspapers. The headline reads, Young Boys, Eyewitnesses to Lawyer's Suicide. Mark picks up a copy and steps onto the elevator.
Hey, Key, can I have your autograph?
Mark sneers at him as the man leaves. A hand with a latex glove on it stops the door from closing. Gronke steps on, wearing a surgical scrubs and mask. He peers at Mark, who's reading the paper. Gronke reaches into his pocket, and Mark sees him. He stops and holds Mark by the shoulder as two women get on the car.
Vacation plan.
Lots of attitude, you know.
I'm at the money.
What? Everything's gonna be fine. Just fine.
The women leave. Gronke pushes Mark back and pulls the emergency stop button. Gronke has a knife in his hand.
Now you listen to me, Mark Sway. I don't know what Romy told you, but you repeat a single word to anyone, including your lawyer, I'll kill you. You talk to the feds tomorrow, I'll kill you. And if you tell anyone about me, I'll kill you slow. You understand me, little big boy?
Gronke leaves. Mark slides down the wall, closes his eyes, and sits on the elevator floor alone.
So everybody in Nolens knew that Maldonado and Boyette were in bed together.
So basically, Boyette got himself killed. He took money from the mafia to build a toxic waste dump, and then when his constituents got ticked off, he did the 180 and voted against it.
Enter bury the blade.
Right, if Fultry can prove it.
Why would Fultry risk bringing in Maldonado if he didn't have Boyette's body?
Because I think this guy's going to run for office. What are we serving today?
It's Thursday.
Southern pecan.
Clint hands her coffee as Mark rushes in.
Something wrong? Is your brother all right?
I ain't talking to the FBI today, and that's final.
Mark, you have to talk with the FBI. If you don't, they could subpoena you.
Fultry is going to be here any minute.
I said no. Now, you're my lawyer, and you have to do what I tell you.
Roy and his partners are walking down the hall to Reggie's office.
This place is a dump. Say that again. My Lord.
Are you...
They are coming down the hall.
Make them go away. Please.
All right, stay here. Stay out of sight. Something's up. I don't get it, but I will do it. Just sit down.
Mark grimaces as he sits in a wicker chair. Reggie goes to the outer office and shuts the door behind her.
Good afternoon, Miss Love. Young Master Sway all ready?
Roy, I'm sorry, but the meeting's been canceled.
Mark's listening.
I beg your pardon.
Why don't you let me debrief the child and give you a statement in writing? You and I both know he doesn't know anything.
We need to talk to this child, Reggie. We have a set of confirmed fingerprints put him right inside Jerome Clifford's car. All right? Now, what you not gonna do about that?
Well, I think, Roy, that the big question is, how did you match his fingerprints?
Simple. We lifted one off a soda can at the hospital.
And did you ask either Mark Sway or his mother before doing so? So you invaded the privacy of an 11-year-old child?
Ms. Love, we were just trying to obtain evidence.
Evidence for what? So his prints are inside the car. You have absolutely no proof that he even interacted with Clifford.
Kid has a bruise on his left cheekbone. We found a spot of blood on Clifford's ring. Not his type.
Well, let me guess. Mark Sway's blood type.
That's right.
And how did you obtain Mark Sway's blood type?
From his brother's hospital admission records.
And how did you obtain his brother's confidential hospital records?
Look here now, Miss...
No, you look here. If you get anywhere near my client again without my permission, I'm going to sue you and the FBI for civil rights violations. I'm going to file an ethics complaint with the state bars in Louisiana and Tennessee, and I'm going to haul your butt into court.
Mark smiles.
You playing big league hardball here, Miss Love. We don't respond to threats. Now, does Mark Sway's mother know you've been institutionalized for drug and alcohol abuse? Huh?
Mark steps back and frowns. Reggie glares at Roy.
It was a treatment center. You just close the door when you leave.
Reggie? Listen, you've been practicing law for 2 years. You're not equipped to handle this case. Yeah, we know more about your client's actions than you do.
You're an amateur, Reggie. Your client's in serious peril. You think that over. Could you open that door? Let me talk to him.
Reggie turns and faces Roy.
You are so good. But I'm not going to let you use this child to climb into the governor's chair. You think you look good on TV? If you or your guys attempt to contact my client or his family again, I'm going to put little Mark Sway on the news prime time. And he can tell everybody how you trampled the constitutional rights of a little 11-year-old. And I got the tape to prove it.
And we'll talk to that boy. He means one step. step, I'll eat you alive.
Roy walks out of the office and his entourage follows.
Lying to me. You've got to refuse to start telling me the truth. One, two.
You're the liar! Keep the dollar! You're fired!
What are you talking? Mark, you come back here! Come back here! Mark! Where are my car keys? Where did I put my car keys?
I know. Your purse.
Outside, Mark storms down a sidewalk toward the hospital. Reggie pulls up next to him in a yellow convertible.
Mark! Mark, get in the car. Come on.
No!
Mark, please.
No!
Reporters see Mark and race to him.
Hey! Mark!
He stops walking, then jumps into Reggie's car.
Hey, kid, that truck's stored this morning.
Reggie drives through the crowd as reporters give chase. At a library, Roy cleans off his shoe as his men look through books.
That kid didn't hire a lawyer for his health.
He knows where that body is.
Even the mob knows he knows. That's where they flew in Gronky from New Orleans. You got it, Wally?
We gotta get our hands on that child before the mob does.
Here it is, Roy. We can petition the juvenile court alleging the boy's in need of supervision.
And protection. Gronky's not here to visit Graceland.
So we explain to the judge the kid's in danger, it's in the kid's best interest to take him into protective custody.
To get the judge to make him talk.
We just have to allege kid's breaking the law in some way.
He is breaking the law. He's obstructing justice. You file those petitions, incarcerate tonight.
Reggie drives down a neighborhood street. A woman with gardening gloves and wearing a hat waves from a front yard. Reggie pulls through an open picket gate and into a driveway.
Where are we? I thought you said we were just getting rid of the reporters.
Well, you see any reporters around? This is my mama's house.
You live with your mother?
Uh-huh.
This is Mama Love.
Hi there. You must be Mark.
Take me back to the hospital.
Listen, you and I are going to do some talking first.
Talk my butt! You're fired!
Fine. You're the boss.
She goes inside. Mark gets out of the car.
This is kidnapping or something. Take me back right now. I'll hitchhike if I have to.
Go ahead.
Mark kicks the car and stomps down the street.
Nice meeting you, Mark.
Mark turns the corner at the end of the driveway. Gronky answers his hotel room door.
Who is it?
Your mother.
Hey, Bono.
A man in dark glasses enters.
How you doing, Paulie?
Guess Johnny means business bringing you here.
Where's the kid?
Quit that lady, lawyer. Got a private dick tailing him.
Any sign of the fillies?
Yeah, a couple. Watching the hospital, same as we are. You know, I gave that kid a little warning last night.
This is the directive. We bug everything. Hospital room, lawyer's office, the works. Find out what the kid knows. That doesn't work. We kill them all.
Mark is standing at the edge of the driveway.
How's he doing?
Oh, when he gets hungry, he'll come in.
It's a lucky thing a car only comes by here in 4 hours.
That is one willful child, Regina.
Pain in the butt, if you ask me.
That's the pot calling the kettle black.
It's dusk as Mark sticks out his thumb and forces a smile onto his face. A red car pulls up beside him. It's Nance.
Hey, man.
Hey.
How you doing? You remember me? You had to get the hospital, right? Well, hop in. Give you a ride. Come on now. Well, what are you doing out here anyway? Come on, hop in.
Mark backs away.
Hey, you know, my boy's getting much better. How's your brother doing?
Nance frowns.
Come on back here.
Elvis has left the building.
Told you so.
Reggie quickly sits and pulls books in front of her as Mark enters.
Hello there.
Take me back to the hospital.
Anybody want some lemonade?
I'm not taking you anywhere until we've had a conversation.
A nice piece of pie.
Where's the phone? I need to call a cab.
Help yourself. It's $40 from here, Mama, and $45. I'm going to share something with the tip.
Look, you're fired, okay? Can't you get that through your thick head?
Fine. Because I cannot do my job if you keep hiding things from me. Did it ever occur to you how it made me feel to go into that room and take on Foldrick on your behalf without the facts?
I should have smelled your breath before I hired you. Then I would have known you as a drunk.
Well, I think I'll be going.
I have been sober for 3 years.
Yeah, right. That's what all the drunks say, how they're going to get sober and all. They even say they love you, but they don't. and then they come home wasted and beat on you and your mother so bad that you gotta hit them in the face with a baseball bat.
You're talking about your daddy, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I got rid of him. When me and my mom went into court to buy a divorce, our lawyer sucked as usual. And so I went up there and told the judge myself about all the beatings, about how he made us sleep in the street. And then that's when my father became my ex-father. And now I got you, and you're a drunk and a bad lawyer too. So now I'm getting rid of you. You're fired, okay? I can handle this myself.
Standing out a window as they talk, Mark notices the bushes moving.
Mark, I used to think I could handle everything by myself. Sometimes being strong means asking for help. Now, I know you've been taking real good care of your family, but the FBI's not gonna leave you alone. You gotta let me help you.
Oh, I need a cigarette.
Smoking is terrible for you. Hey. What did Roman tell you in that car?
God, why do I always have to answer questions? Why don't you ever have to answer any questions?
Okay, that's fair enough. Go ahead, ask me something.
Like what?
Whatever you want. Go ahead. There's no rules. There's no limits. You ask me and I will answer.
And you'll tell the truth.
If it takes my skin off.
She crosses her heart and holds up two fingers.
All right. What's that thing you always wear around your neck?
This is my mammal's compass. I wear it so I'll never lose my way again. Anything else?
Yeah. These your kids?
Yes.
They chained down in the basement?
Close. They're with their daddy. There was a divorce.
You ever see them?
They don't really want to see me.
Because you're a drunk and on drugs.
Because after the divorce, I drank some, yes.
He stares at her.
I drank a lot.
Why?
You're right. There must be a cigarette around here someplace. I married a big Memphis doctor. I worked to put him through medical school, and as soon as he became rich and famous, he traded me in for a younger model.
Outside, cigarette smoke hangs around Nance's head as he sits in a car across the street.
I didn't have a dollar to put food in the fridge or a car to go look for a job. But I figured I could handle it myself, just like you. But
she finds a cigarette and lights it.
I was wrong.
So then you started to drink?
Mm-mm. First, I stopped sleeping and eating. I was scared to death. I just kept staying up every night watching my babies, trying to figure out what I was going to do. Finally, I took some pills to sleep. Hell, he prescribed them for me. I was not trying to kill myself. But that's when it passed. Got himself a fancy lawyer. I didn't have anybody. I figured after all those years of blowing noses and wiping butts and fixing meals and carpooling the kids every which way, you know, that'd count for something. I was a fool. The court declared me unfit.
Mark stares at her.
Just like that. They were gone. He took my little girl, my little boy. Anyhow, that's when I started drinking. But I got myself sober. I stayed sober, and I put myself through law school.
Do you miss your kids?
So much I try not to even think about them.
Mark reaches down and slowly pulls the cigarette from her fingers. Reggie smiles slightly as she watches him take a drag. He gives her the cigarette back and exhales.
He told me. Romy told me where the body's buried.
Do you want to tell me, Mark? I can call the police and put an end to this right now.
But I swore an oath that I wouldn't tell nobody. They're gonna get me, Reggie. I seen it on TV. The mob never forgets.
Oh my God, they came after you, didn't they?
Yes, ma'am.
I gotta get security on your brother's room and notify the police and get you out of here back to the hospital where you'll be safe.
She goes to a phone.
Reggie, I'm scared.
A car pulls up and parks next to Nance's car. He gets out and walks to Gronky and Bono.
What's up?
He's in there, but y'all got to deal with the two witches.
What do you think?
I got an idea.
At a restaurant.
It's gonna take us at least a week to get that kid in protective custody.
Even if we grab him, we still gotta find a way to make him talk.
I want that kid in court and on the stand mañana. You hear what I'm telling you?
Yes, I hear you.
Let me have the phone. I know how to solve this.
Don't you have something to do? Don't you go wake somebody up?
McThune stands and throws his napkin in his chair. Gronky and Bono lead the sway trailer. Gronky tosses a gasoline can to the ground. They run to their car as flames come through the trailer roof and windows. The trailer's quickly engulfed in flames as they run to a car and drive away. A picture of Mark, Ricky, and their mother crinkles in the flames. Mrs. Sway rubs Ricky's shoulder. Reggie, Clint, and Mark all watch her take a drink from a soda can.
Our trailer. They burned down our home. We got nothing left.
Who did?
How the hell do I know? Somebody they saw, two people, they's leaving, and it's all gone. All of it.
Mom, it's my fault. I'm so sorry, really. Look, it's gonna be all right. Do you know if you have insurance?
It's none of your business, really.
I'm sorry, Diane. I didn't mean anything about it. I was just trying to help you, so.
What is this?
Oh, it's just a few things I put together to make you feel a little more comfortable. Mama Love cooked you a little.
I don't need your charity.
It's not charity.
And I don't need you trying to come in here and take away my son. Mark's already got a mother.
I know that. You're doing a fine job.
I don't need your help.
Look, I'm sorry if I offended.
Get out!
Reggie's eyes widen. She glances at Mark.
Sure.
Mark's mom rubs her son's head and turns away as Reggie leaves.
Reggie, you okay?
Fine.
They got her on all kinds of medications. She doesn't know what she's saying.
Sergeant Hardy waits outside the door with a man in a suit.
I had no call to speak to her that way, Lord. I'm sorry.
Hello.
The man in the suit holds up a badge.
I'm Detective Ed Nassa, Memphis PD. You Diane Sway?
Yeah.
These are from juvenile court, Miss Sway. It's a summons for hearing at 10 tomorrow.
The summons requires us to take young Mark into custody at this time.
What? You can't take my son.
Well, we're going to have easy now.
Calm down.
Over my dead body.
Hey, something is for his own good.
What's he done?
Mark,
just tell me what. Somebody help me.
The petition is filed because he will not cooperate.
Diane slaps the sergeant. Detective Nassar grabs her and they fall to the floor. Nassar's wallet falls out. Mark grabs Nassar's credit card as the sergeant drags him from the room. Nassar and Diane continue to struggle. Mark is led through the reporters.
Shut up, Marcus.
Hey, you gonna rip me my rocks? Hey, me ain't even know how to read. You gonna cuff me?
This is not an arrest.
Then what the hell is it?
Watch your mouth, kid.
He pushes Mark into the back seat of a squad car and gets in after him. Mark pushes and hits him. Later, he holds Mark by the ear.
It's all yours.
Calm down. Empty apartment.
He puts a wad of things on the counter, then turns to watch men being led into a hall.
Okay, now follow me.
Ray's watching himself on television.
There you are.
I don't look too bad either.
You look good.
All right. Nope. Listen, I twisted every arm. I broke every leg. You got what you want. The kid's in custody. You got your hearing tomorrow, 10 a.m., okay? I knew you could do it, Jason. Well done. One child in jail.
All right.
What kind of place is this?
Women's detention hall.
Keep the noise down. Why am I being put in with the women?
Because you're a minor.
Stop treating me like a kid. Put me where the men are.
You're safer here. You have this whole cell to yourself.
Is this what they mean by solitary?
No. You can have any bed you want. Don't give me any trouble.
She closes the door to the cell. Mark hangs his head.
You okay, boy?
Could I call my mom just to tell her where I'm at and that I'm okay? Please, she's probably worried sick about me.
I suppose I could run a phone in here. I'll make this little exception just this once.
Thank you, ma'am.
Later, he's on a bunk with a telephone and phone book.
Brother's Pizza.
Yes? I would like to order 20 of your largest Supremes.
Okay, and where's that going, honey?
I'm ordering for Detective Nazar, North Prison.
Okay, and how would you like to pay for this order?
Well, with my credit card.
Number, please?
The number is 400-0306-1954-0010.
Okay, hold on.
The credit card was in a sneaker.
$48.10.
Fine. Cheaper than the last time.
Oh, well.
Thank you.
He kisses the card.
We'll never get him out tonight. Fulton filed a custody petition. Roosevelt scheduled a hearing for tomorrow at 10.
10?
Yep.
There's 3 to 7 days after filing a petition, not 3 to 7 hours.
I know that. That damn Fulton, he'll do anything.
You know that right.
A little child behind bars for the night.
Milo, I have been through this wallet 3 times. I have found everything except my visa.
These things are hot. Hey, did y'all order the pizzas?
Nazar and Hardy look at the pizza man and glance at each other. The next day at the courthouse, Judge Harry Roosevelt sits in his chambers tinkering with copper wires and tubing.
I'd have been married a long time ago. I'd have been married a long time ago. My, my, my.
Reggie bursts in.
You didn't have to sign a custody order, Harry. I would have brought him here. You know that.
And good morning to you too, Reggie.
What is going on?
According to the FBI, Mr. Paul Gronke and his pal Bono have just arrived in our fair city. You ever heard of these guys?
No.
He hands her a piece of paper.
Your client could be in a world of danger. What does the child know?
Yeah, that's privilege, Harry.
So he knows more than he should.
She glances at him.
If he did know something, would you guarantee him witness protection, complete relocation for his mother's brother and him?
This is not standard.
Oh, damn it, Harry. Well, why should he talk if we can't protect him?
Forgive my presumption here, Reggie, but you do seem overly agitated. Whatever became of that objectivity we used to fight about over at Memphis State? After all, he is just a client, isn't he?
I'm sorry. I just didn't get much sleep. It's just that he's never had a break and he's counting on me.
The jail guard has her hand on Mark's shoulder as they walk down a long corridor. Reggie smiles at Mark as they approach. He frowns at her, then looks at the floor.
Hey.
Huh?
Thanks, Doreen.
Good luck.
Doreen leaves.
Brought your jacket.
Thanks.
You all right?
Yeah. You sure clean up good.
You too.
Reggie and Mark walk through the courthouse, then sit on a bench.
Why can't I just tell him I don't know nothing, Reggie?
Because it's wrong. Because it's against the law. Besides that, nobody's gonna believe you. Not the mob, not the FBI, nobody. And besides that, Barry Muldano's a killer. You've got a chance to stop him before he hurts somebody else.
But didn't you tell the truth in divorce court about being a good mom and all?
Yes.
Proof. The truth hurts. They took your kids away.
You're right. But Mark, don't you see, if you lie, you're going to be just like them.
If I tell the truth, he'll kill me.
All right. Look, have you ever heard of the Witness Protection Program?
Lord, Jess, that's where they put you in those funny mustaches and sends you off to New Jersey or someplace to live. I saw it on TV. The guy in the TV movie, the mob found him anyways, and they blew his legs off.
You saw that on TV?
Down the hall, Roy and his associates push through a crowd of reporters. As they turn into a room, Roy stops and, with his hands on his hips, nods at Reggie. She nods in return and he leaves.
Reggie, no matter what I do, I could probably get killed. You can't let them ask me any questions.
Oh, Tomar, but if Poultry gets you on that stand, you can't lie, or you'll be just like them. Okay?
Court is in session as well.
Mark stands.
Mark.
My, we certainly have drawn a crowd this morning. Officer?
Sergeant Hardy.
What are you doing in my courtroom wearing a firearm?
Wait.
Thank you. You may go.
Mark smiles as Sergeant Hardy leaves.
And you, Mr. Mola, your coverage of this case has led me to consider having you indicted for reckless endangerment.
But, Your Honor...
Another word, and I will slap you with contempt. Good day, sir.
The reporter frowns.
Well, now, that's better. Shall we proceed?
Your Honor, I would like to note for the record that the child is without custodial parent. Request postponement until such time as she can appear.
Your Honor, I'm Thomas Fink, Assistant U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Louisiana. I'd like, if I may, to address this issue of the absence of the child's mother. Your Honor, it's our position, the position of the petitioner...
Your position, Mr. Fink, is in that chair. Please sit. And listen carefully. I'll only say this once.
Judge Roosevelt...
As for you, Mr. Foltrig, this is not New Orleans, and I'm not one of your federal judges. This is my private courtroom, and I make the rules. Rule number one, you will speak only when spoken to. Rule number two, do not grace His Honor with unsolicited commentary. Rule number three, His Honor does not like to listen to the voices of U.S. attorneys who love to hear themselves speak. Do you understand these rules, gentlemen?
They nod sheepishly.
Mr. Foltry.
Sir.
You want Mr. Fink to handle the case for prosecution?
Yes, sir. Your Honor, sir, if it pleases the court, sir.
I'll allow it, but try and keep his butt in that seat, please.
Sir.
The court will act in loco parentis. I'll watch out for the child's interest in this hearing, Miss Love. Proceed.
The child then moves to dismiss on the grounds that the allegations are without merit and the petition has been filed in an attempt to explore things the child might know.
Quit calling me the child.
Quiet, young man. Proceed.
Mr. Foltrig and Mr. Fink are using this hearing as a fishing expedition, Your Honor. Their supposition that my client had any legally significant conversation with Mr. Clifford is based on purely circumstantial evidence. The petition should be dismissed and we should all go home.
Your Honor, if I may?
You may.
Your Honor, the child is the last person to see Jerome Clifford alive. Now, we have established this child willfully deceived us.
A set of fingerprints on a Cadillac is hardly willful deceit, Your Honor.
We can show the child's fingerprints on the suicide hose and on the gun itself. Your Honor, we feel the child must testify for his own good in order to exonerate himself.
Mr. Fink. Are you attempting to implicate this child in Clifford's suicide?
No, Your Honor, we are not. Currently, we are alleging only obstruction of justice. Now, involvement in a suicide could constitute juvenile delinquency. This child could be removed from his mother's care.
Your Honor, there's absolutely no basis for this.
Your Honor, we are only asking that the child testify to clear his good name. We're not forcing the child to testify. Not yet.
Miss Love, will your client testify and put an end to this foolishness?
And if we refuse?
Well, I don't like it, but I'd have to lock him back up till we sort this out.
She looks to Mark, who shakes his head and mouths, no. She stares down.
Your Honor, the child moves for a change of venue. Since the alleged murder of Senator Boyette occurred in Louisiana, we would like a postponement pending relocation to that locality.
Your Honor, as United States Attorney for the Eastern District of Louisiana, I hereby waive venue.
The child declines such an offer.
And release the proceedings to your jurisdiction.
The child declines such an offer.
That's a pretty suit, Sheriff.
Drop dead, Roy.
Roy smiles.
All right, you two. Just settle down. Nice try, Reggie, but I think it would be in everybody's best interest for little Mark to take the stand.
But, Your Honor...
That's my ruling, Counselor. Mark, I want you to come up here and take this seat right by me.
Clint helps Mark out of his chair.
It's okay.
Mark goes to the witness box. Roy quickly whispers to Fink.
Mm-hmm. Put up your right hand, Mark. You swear to tell the truth?
He nods.
You have to say it.
I swear.
Okay. Mr. Fink is going to ask you some questions. He'll keep them clear and simple. Understand?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Fink.
Not right.
Mr. Fink.
Fink stands.
How you doing, Mark? Mark, were you forced into the car with Mr. Clifford before he died?
Mark checks with Reggie, who nods slightly.
Yes, sir.
Did you and Mr. Clifford have a conversation?
Mark turns his head away. He closes his eyes and tenses his mouth.
Yes, sir.
Listen up. Did Mr. Clifford mention Barry Maldonado or Senator Boyd Boyette?
Mark shifts his eyes to Roy, then to Reggie.
You answer the question, Mark.
Mark turns to the judge.
Is taking the Fifth Amendment lying?
No, it's not lying.
Well, can I take the Fifth Amendment?
No, you cannot.
Why not? It applies to kids, doesn't it?
Not in this case, Mark. You're not implicated in the death of Senator Boyette, so you'll have to answer the question.
Your Honor, as Mr. Foltwick has done so thorough a job in attempting to implicate Mark, I must, out of an abundance of caution...
She shakes her head.
...advise my client to take the Fifth.
Mark smiles.
Haven't we played enough games here? Your Honor, we are all searchers for the truth. A man has been murdered, and another man lies dead by his own hand, yet this boy remains silent. What wanton hubris is this? Speak, child, now. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. So saith the song.
That's Proverbs 12:22. This is still a courtroom, not a church, Mr. Foltree. Please sit down.
Roman Clifford tell you where Boyd Boyette's body's at, son.
Mr. Foltree.
Yes, sir.
Roy glares at Mark and sits.
Answer the question, Mark.
He glances at the judge and Reggie.
Take the Fifth Amendment. I'm sorry, but I can't answer any of these questions because I'm afraid of what might happen to me or my family.
I have no choice but to return you to protective custody.
All right.
Sorry, Mark, it's for your own protection.
Judge, why can't you get him to answer the question?
These proceedings are closed.
A bailiff leads Mark past Reggie.
I didn't lie, Reggie.
You did great.
Mark leaves.
What kind of a lawyer tells an 11-year-old child to plead the Fifth, send him back to jail for another night and hold up a federal investigation? You trying to ruin this boy's life or just flat out get him killed?
Roy walks away. She stares in front of her, then lowers her head.
You're real good, Reggie.
Later, the bailiff turns a corner in a hall. Nance looks around, then follows the officer into a restroom. Nance gives the officer some money.
We know?
Yeah, we're...
Well...
This guy's looking for a little bit more this time, Jack.
He slams the officer's head against a wall.
Question. The kid's going back to jail. Roosevelt just wants to keep him safe.
No, what's he know?
I'd say he knows everything. Come on, man. Harry wants him back in court tomorrow at noon to see if Knight and the slammer changes his mind.
You didn't hear this from me, Jack.
Shut up.
Come on, man. Give me a little break here, would you?
Nance grabs the money and throws it toward the toilet. It's nighttime in New Orleans. People walk past a restaurant. Barry goes inside and hurries to the back. He pushes through bodyguards and goes toward a table where Johnny sits with a woman. She leaves and Barry sits. A waiter approaches.
What is it? I'm eating here.
Just took the Gronk in there.
What can I get you?
Those sakis.
The waiter switches the salt and pepper shakers and leaves.
Where's your regular waiter?
I don't know.
Cops cut the can. I still can't move the stiff.
You're a jackass, you know that, Barry?
Agents are listening.
We've had this conversation.
I'm sick of it. I deserve respect.
Nice work, Ron.
Thanks, Drew. Just once I'm
done. Picking it up just fine.
We still need to make a move.
Probably told his lawyer. We're tapping the phones tonight.
I hate damn lawyers. Please, Uncle Johnny, just let me hit the kid.
We got nothing to worry about from that kid. Let's call the whole thing quits.
Uncle Johnny, that kid knows.
Damn bugs.
He points to the salt and pepper shakers.
City's lousy with them.
Probably right, Uncle Johnny. Kid knows nothing.
The waiter returns to the table.
They're on to us. We're out of business.
Johnny writes something on a napkin and holds it up for Barry to read.
So we're just going to put this whole thing behind us. Is that clear?
I got it, Uncle Johnny.
He reads the napkin before Johnny dips it in the flame of a chafing dish. Bono smiles as the words, "kill them," disappears as the napkin burns on a plate. Mark lies alone on a bunk bed and looks at the graffiti on the ceiling above his head. He reads, "And the truth shall make you free," John 8:32.
Regina, what are you doing?
Nothing, Mama. You go back to bed.
She searches through a folder.
Have you any idea what time it is?
Mama, have you seen my notebooks from school?
Garage, maybe.
Huh?
Garage, baby, you need to get some sleep. He's your client, Regina. He's not your child.
Reggie turns on a light in a garage. She quickly rummages through several boxes. She throws books, pushes boxes away, and opens other boxes.
Damn.
She looks at the mess scattered all over the floor. She sits on the floor and pulls out a baseball glove with something stuck inside. She removes a ceramic print of a small hand and strokes it. She places her hand over the impression and starts to cry. She picks up a child's patent leather shoe. She clutches them to her chest and leans her head back. Doreen walks down the hall of the jail. When she looks in one cell, she stops and sees Mark on the floor shaking. She opens the door and races to Mark's side.
Mark! Mark!
Tilda! Call the medic! Quick!
Tilda runs up.
Medic on five now!
Damn, who is soaking wet?
The baby's in shock, isn't he?
Go get a towel.
Tilda hurries away.
What's going on?
I don't know.
Damn, this kid's heart is about to explode. Get an ambulance now.
Right. Tell them! Call an ambulance!
Soon after, they arrive at the hospital.
What do we got?
Elevated pulse and BP, shakes and sweats, vitals are coming down a bit.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you bleed or anything?
No.
We can wait 5 minutes. We live over there.
Sign on the dotted line, lady. He's all yours.
Where are the police?
He's just a juvenile.
Damn it.
Mark turns over as the nurse goes to a bleeding Elvis impersonator.
My guitar. I just can't believe it, man. Look at my guitar. How long did...
Get the guitar.
No, no, honey. This is an original guitar here, baby.
Settle down, settle down.
Well, just what we need.
All right, but look.
Another drunk Elvis.
There's people over here need help. I need a new guitar. Who's going to pay for this? Who's paying for the guitar?
Mark slides off the stretcher and rushes through an emergency exit. He creeps up a stairwell. He peeks through a window and a door and watches his mother leave Ricky's room. She walks down the hall with security guards.
Yeah, I think they got a fresh pot down here. Too hot in there for you?
Mark crawls on all fours out of the stairwell and looks down the hall. He notices a man in the shadows by the statue. Rocky steps into the light and Mark sees his mole. Gronky moves toward him. He jumps and runs down the stairs. Gronky chases him. They jump over handrails and pipes. Mark goes into a separate stairwell with Gronky close behind him. They run down several flights of stairs. Mark rushes through a door. They sprint past long pipes spraying mist. Mark goes into an empty circular medical classroom. He runs up steps and hides in a row behind a short wall just as Gronke bursts in.
Mark. Paging Mr. Sway. Now, it's nothing personal, kid. I don't want to hurt you.
He has a knife.
I just want to talk. Want to smoke, huh? Let's have smoke together. Mark?
Mark runs out and pushes through a door. Gronke follows close behind. He goes down the hall and hides behind a shelf while Gronke searches a room. Mark runs away. Gronke comes out and scans another room. He goes through swinging doors to the morgue. In a hall, he looks under sheets that are draped over stretchers.
Okay, you little punk. Game's over. Ooh. Isn't this a nice spot to die? Well, well, I wonder if we're gonna find a live body in here.
Mark jumps off a stretcher.
Come on over here. What?
Mark locks him in a freezer and runs away. McFune turns on a bedside light.
Hey, McFune.
Chief, this is Jerry. It's about Mark Sway. He's escaped.
Pardon me?
Hi there. Thought you boys could use some coffee.
There you go.
Thank you, Mrs. Love.
Well, you're welcome.
Mama Love serves coffee to two officers.
It's really the best time to keep across the freezer.
Shut up.
You need anything else, just holler.
Mama, what are you being so nice to that boy?
Because they're cute. They're just trying to be protective, right?
Where have you been? They are here because they are hoping that an 11-year-old boy comes by so they can pounce on them.
I feel like a prisoner.
She bumps Clint's mug, spilling coffee.
Will you just be calm?
Mate, you're the one who hasn't been able to sit still since they got here.
Well, it isn't every day you can't sit out your house.
All right, fine. Let's just all relax. Can you do that? Let's just try to sit down and relax.
I'll relax.
Reggie hurries to the phone.
Hello?
Reggie, it's me. Busted out of jail. You've got to come get me.
Jeanette. It's Jeanette.
She nods to Mama Love as the officers enter.
Oh. It's Jeanette.
The officers leave.
What are you doing calling me so late, Gronk?
Who's Jeanette?
Mama shrugs.
I'm at St. Peter's, hiding out.
What?
I ran in place for an hour and I faked an attack of post-traumatic stress disorder. They rushed me right over. It was easy as pie.
Are you okay?
No, I'm not okay. I locked a mafia guy in the morgue who was trying to kill me.
I hear something down the hallway here.
Mark, listen, just go find yourself a policeman right now.
I'm not going back to jail. Reggie, if you don't come and get me, I'm going to go where I'm going on my own.
No.
I'm serious, Reggie. You've got to come get me. Now, you're the only friend I've got, and you know that. Don't let me down.
I'll meet you by the front parking lot in a dark gray Honda.
Okay, right in front of the cross. The big one. Thank you, Reggie. Thanks.
My just dark gray Honda. You can't run away with an escaped, I don't know, whatever the hell he is. They'll arrest you for contributing. You'll be disbarred.
It's gonna be fine.
You've lost your mind.
Mama, look, I need you to distract me, please. I'm going out the back way. Will you just go give him coffee or something? And don't ask me any questions, please, okay? Oh, I need some cash.
Come on, Reg. This is my rent money.
I know, but you can live with Mama. Like, she likes you better than me anyway.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't be hard.
Police officers and reporters are gathered around the hospital entrance. Reggie scans the crowd as she drives very slowly. Under a large illuminated cross, Mark huddles between cars. He spots Reggie and creeps to her car. She pushes his head down.
Stay down. Mama must be beside herself.
I called her from the morgue. Told her we'd fix everything.
We?
You're an accomplice now, aren't you?
She glances down at him and continues driving. Ray and his men are heading into the hospital.
Yeah, we're watching the mother's room in case he tries to get to her and we put a bug on her phone.
Roy nods and yawns.
Anybody talk to her yet? No, you said you wanted to be the first.
I do.
You know your boy's missing.
Missing? You mean you lost him?
Has he tried to contact you tonight?
You search the hospital, he knows it real well, you know.
Yes, we have, sir. It's the hospital. Reggie Love is missing, too. Do you think your son Mark could be with her?
Hell. Y'all, the FBI. Since you got involved, our trailer's been blowed up, my boy's been thrown in jail, and now he's missing. So let me tell you something. Act like the FBI. You find him.
She slams the door in their faces. Reggie and Mark drive down an empty road.
Head towards the bridge.
Why?
Well, I've been thinking. That witness protection thing sounds pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But Romy was all drunk and on pills. What if the body ain't where he said? Would we still get the witness protection?
No, we gotta make our deal before we tell him where the body is, and then just keep our fingers crossed.
So first we gotta be sure the body's even there, right?
What are you getting at?
We gotta go to New Orleans to try and find Senator Boyette's body where Romy said it is.
You are out of your mind. No way, absolutely not. That's it. Where are you going? You stay.
He gets out as she fumbles with her seatbelt.
Get back in the car. Mark, where are you going? Mark, somebody's gonna see.
Let me go. I'll hitchhike if I have to.
You are crazy. You're gonna get yourself killed.
Yeah, a lot of other people can get killed if I don't go. I'll do it on my own if I have to.
Mark, please. Please.
He turns toward her.
Remember Mama Loves? What she told me about, well, asking people for help?
Yeah.
I guess now I'm asking you. Please.
She glances over her shoulder, then eyes Mark. She walks to the car.
Hey, where are you going?
I'm gonna look for a map to get to New Orleans. What do you think I'm doing?
Mark smiles.
Here's Uncle Johnny. I hid the body under a boat in Romy's boathouse.
You what?
I wanted Romy to always remember how close he was to being dead. It was kind of a joke.
Very funny.
I mean, after Romy died, there were cops all over the place. But now they're finally gone, I can get the body.
The way this has been handled, Barry, has been very stupid. I will not let you take this family down with you. Do you understand?
I'm begging you, Uncle Johnny. Just let me get the body. Help me now, and I promise I'll never make another mistake again.
Johnny leans back in his chair and glares at him.
Take Ronke and Bonner. I'm giving you one chance to clear this up. This is my last favor, Barry.
Thank you, Uncle Johnny.
Barry, do you understand what I mean when I say my last favor?
I understand.
He glares back and walks out. Mark and Reggie drive over a bridge.
Reggie Love's office.
Listen carefully. Call Diane Sway and tell her Mark's okay. He's with me.
Where the hell are you? The feds are going crazy.
A motel outside of New Orleans. I gotta go now. We'll be back tomorrow.
No, wait, you gotta tell me where.
Listen, Clint, if anything happens, take care of Mama Love for me, okay?
Reggie, don't you hang up. Reggie.
She crosses a hotel room and sits on a bed. Mark is on another bed sleeping. She watches him for a long moment and smiles.
Hey, we got something. Good work. Hot damn. We just monitored a call from Clint Van Hooser to Diane Sway at the hospital. Love has got the kid in New Orleans.
All right, Walter, get the airplane.
Yeah.
Excellent news.
Yes, sir.
We are out of here, huh? We'll give you a telephone call. Who's that, Walter?
Nobody.
McThune watches them leave. Mark and Reggie drive through a neighborhood. Mark checks a map.
We're still going north.
I'm not checking the compass.
He looks at her necklace.
Take it off.
No, I never take it off.
Well, that's okay. We're on the right street.
1210.
Yes. Turn your lights off.
This is where the rich people live.
He holds a flashlight out the window.
Shine over there, see what that one is.
1213.
Must be 1214.
There it is.
Bingo.
He illuminates a sign reading Clifford. A large gate is chained shut.
Oh my. Oh, now be quiet. Don't let the neighbors see.
I see a big house, but I don't see a boathouse.
It's farther back. Get down. You're gonna kill yourself. Come on, we'll find another way. We can go by the river and hide the car. Come on.
signs read armed response and you will be shot. Another says stop, entry forbidden. Reggie and Mark creep along a chain link fence and peek across the yard.
That must be Roy's place over there by those trees.
Yeah.
He steps around the fence post.
That looks like a boathouse.
Yeah, but how are we gonna get there?
Come on.
No, Mark! That's my property.
They quietly jog past the signs.
What the hell do you think I'm doing?
Romy's neighbors sure are paranoid.
What you would be doing with a mafia living next door?
They approach the other fence. They squeeze past the post and hurry to a small wooden building attached to a dock. Mark tries to open the door, but it's locked.
I'll look around here for another door.
He sees a window over the door and starts climbing up a wooden awning.
There's another door, but it's locked. Shh. I'll try the window.
She checks over her shoulder as she helps push him up.
You know how to get to Romy's?
Yeah, everybody knows how to get to Romy's. Sit down.
Gronke and Bono steer away from a dock in a speedboat.
You okay?
Wooden slats cover the window.
Did you see anything?
Yeah.
He hits a slat.
Shh. Quiet. You'll wake up the neighbors. What do you see?
It's definitely a boathouse.
He flashes a light inside. A boat is suspended from the ceiling with a tarp covering it. He crawls in the window.
Wait a minute, what are you doing? Don't go in there.
I'll climb in and unlock the door from the inside.
Mark, you listen to me. Get down here.
She throws up her hands. The speedboat cuts across the water. Mark crawls on a rafter over the boat.
Mark! Mark!
He jumps to the floor.
You all right?
Gotta see if the body's here.
No, just let me in.
It's here!
Will you open up this door?
The door is padlocked. The speedboat gets closer. A black plastic bag is under Romy's boat.
Mark, I'm gonna kill you if you don't open this door.
He lifts the edge of the bag. He falls back.
What happened?
Yes, it's the raccoon.
Oh, good. Well, now let me in.
He investigates again and pulls out a paint can. The speedboat pulls up to the dock. Reggie peeks around the corner and sees two of the men climb out of the boat. One has shovels.
Watch the water if anyone comes.
I know how to keep a lookout. Just take care of business.
She watches them with her mouth open, then moves back to the door.
Somebody coming.
I think it's Barry Modano.
Open this door. It's locked. Trapped.
The other door starts to open.
Chain.
The chain is shot off. Mark presses himself to the door. When Barry enters the boathouse, he points a gun but sees no one.
You hear something?
No.
Reggie climbs a stack of boxes to the awning.
Get paranoid in your old age, bye.
Shut up, you jerk.
A bag moves. The raccoon falls.
Bye-bye, Rocky Raccoon.
Yeah, I'm calling Cogman, don't you?
I told you I heard something.
He pushes a button, and the boat is raised up. Reggie watches from the window.
You barely let me here, did you?
Yeah, so here's the boat.
Give me one of them pins.
Come on, rocket scientist, you are. There are so many neighbors running here, Barry.
The cover on the boat moves as Mark sticks out his head. Reggie tries to wave him back, but he doesn't see her. The men dig a hole in the cement under the boat, and Mark leans further out to try to get a glimpse.
It's at the boathouse.
She pats the windowsill, and Mark turns. She signals to go toward her, but he shakes his head and continues observing the men. They start digging out dirt with their hands. Barry shines a light on a plastic bag.
Resurrection time.
Mark mouths, I think they found the body. Reggie mouths back to him and gestures to get out. He nods.
Let's just get out of here.
She points to the window and Mark covers his head with a tarp. She reaches down as he moves back toward the window. She grabs his feet and slowly starts pulling him out. Barry looks up. He spots Mark.
Hey!
Mark pushes a lever and the boat drops. Gronky and Barry's legs are caught under it. Barry pushes out and hurries to the door. Mark and Reggie climb down the boxes but fall. Barry shoots off the lock as they run into the bushes. He chases after them as Bono runs into the boathouse.
Oh, you okay?
Get this thing off of me, Bono.
He jumps on Reggie and drops his gun.
Run, Mark, run!
Mark gets up and runs into the trees. Barry hits her head on the ground and reaches for his gun but can't find it. He pulls out his knife and holds it to her neck.
You're gonna die, girl.
Mark picks up the gun.
Get off her. Now. I'm serious. Let her go.
He purses his lips and drops her head. He stands.
Drop the knife.
He points the knife toward Mark, then dangles and drops it. Reggie pulls it from the ground.
Mr. Marksway, you're a big man. You're a big man with the gun, Marksway. You're not gonna shoot anymore.
Yes, I am.
He steps toward Barry.
Mark, give me the gun.
No. He was gonna kill you. He was gonna kill me, and he would've killed my mom and my little brother.
You're just a scared little kid. Probably wet your pants.
Come on, big man. Pull the damn trigger.
Now, Mark, Mark.
If I just shoot, everything will be okay.
No, it won't. You'll be just like him, please. Come on. Give it to me. Mark, give it to me. Give it to me.
She takes the gun and points it at Barry.
Should let the kid shoot, girl. You don't have the guts.
She nods and grins.
Really?
She pulls the gun up higher and aims at a box on the neighbor's house. Lights around the house turn on. Bono and Gronky hurry from the boathouse. The neighbor runs out with a shotgun.
You rabid son of a gun!
Damn!
She and Mark run away.
No one's breaking into my place, you son of a gun!
The men rush to their speedboat.
Call the police!
What is it? Light him on! We still got time!
Cop's gonna be here in a minute. Now get in the boat, Barry!
In the boathouse, Reggie and Mark kneel under the boat and listen to the men leave.
You're a genius.
Thank you. You're not bad yourself. Let's see what we got before the police get here.
I wonder if he's home.
He rips open the bag and maggots are on a face.
Oh God, he's home.
The next day, a black limousine pulls into a parking lot. A motel sign reads, vacancy. Inside a cafe, Reggie sits in a booth drinking from a coffee mug. Roy enters wearing a baseball cap. Two other men follow.
What's Cloak and Dagger all about, Reggie? You know you can trust us.
You three come here alone?
Uh-huh.
That the truth?
Of course it is.
Well, then why don't you have one of them just trot out to one of those cars that aren't in the parking lot and get a pen and paper from one of those agents that aren't out there.
Give me something to write with, Wally.
Ah.
You've been awful busy, Reggie. Obstruction of justice, tampering with federal evidence, contributing to the delinquency of a minor. You've been real busy.
Oh, Roy, I am so flattered that you noticed.
You really see Boy Boy as body?
I smelled it, too.
Where is it?
Here's a list of all the psychiatric hospitals that specialize in children. I want a bed for Ricky Sway in one of them by noon today.
I don't believe you're in as strong a bargaining position as you think you are, Reggie. You know where that body's at. You better tell me.
Well, Roy, I do know where that body's at right now, but I don't know where that body's going to be out in 3 hours. Now, you want to keep playing games or you want to make a deal?
He turns his cap around.
All right. What do you want?
You have access to private jet?
I do.
Send it to Memphis.
pick up Diane and Ricky Sway and their doctor. We'll meet them at the airport. When Mark Sway is safely on board and the plane's in the air, then I'll tell you where your body is. How are we doing so far?
I don't have anything I can't live with.
Okay. The whole family enters the witness protection program. As soon as Ricky's feeling better, then they choose their new city.
Agreed.
Complete change of identification and a nice little house. Wyatt, with a walk-in closet.
He nods at her vacantly.
We'll write it down. Walk-in closet.
A walk-in hyphenated?
She's gonna need some starting out money and a nice new job. Okay, when you guys want to type this up, as soon as Diane signs it, we'll all live happily ever after.
Give me some help, Reggie. How far is it to that body?
She leans in closer to him.
12 little itty bitty tiny minutes.
Thank you, Reggie.
You're welcome, Roy.
She leans back and looks at her watch. Dr. Greenway, Clint, Diane, and McThune hurry down a hall with Ricky on a stretcher. With agents in radio contact, Ricky is pushed onto a helicopter platform. Ricky is placed into a medical helicopter. It takes off. Diane climbs aboard a private jet. Dr. Greenway carefully picks up Ricky and takes him aboard the airplane.
1603 hours. ETA for New Orleans, about 54 minutes.
They screwed up! You never walk away! Never!
Now settle down, Barry. Sometimes you gotta cut your losses to survive.
It's not too late! I can go back. I can dig up that body myself.
Johnny stops Barry from leaving.
Why don't you let Gronke here drive you? And take Bono along for company. You can all go together for a nice long ride.
No, Uncle Johnny, please. Let me go myself. I can handle it.
And risk getting caught? No. No more risk, Barry. Barry the Blade. No more. Not ever.
Gronke nods and smiles. The jet stops in front of a hangar. McThune, Clint, and Diane climb off the plane.
Welcome to New Orleans, Mrs. Sway. Watch your step.
There on the ground now. Yeah, I think I'm moving to the hangar for ground transport.
Come to you.
A limo parks in the hangar. Mark gets out.
Mom!
They run to each other and hug.
God, I'm sorry I worried you.
I'm glad you came.
Not sure that I had that much choice. Mom, if you don't want me to tell them where the body is, I won't. They got this great hospital in Phoenix for kids. And once Ricky gets better, we can move anywhere we want. Canada, Connecticut, anywhere.
Any place that starts with a C anyway.
They told me we'd have a real house.
Some getting started money. Walk-in closet.
Diane timidly smiles.
Letter may be a good job.
Yeah.
I watch my boys grow up. Maybe even join the PTA. Whatever. Well, I'm only 27 years old.
You're due for a break.
Look, about what all I said in the hospital, I want to apologize.
No need.
And wherever your kids are, they're crazy not to want you with them. Thank you. You know, like you said, one day at a time.
Reggie shrugs.
Phoenix. I sure do like the sound of that.
Reggie snaps and Truman approaches with a pen and paper. Diane signs it.
Congratulations, Miss Sway. Jason McThune over here will escort you to Phoenix. Take care of matters once y'all arrive.
Right this way, Miss Sway. All right, guys, let's go.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Let's go, bud. Come on.
Thanks forever, Roy. You've been a real pain in the butt.
Thank you, son, and good luck to you. I assure you, you have been an even larger pain. Come on, give me five.
Mark sadly looks at Reggie. She salutes him, and he walks to her.
come with us, can you?
When you enter the Witness Protection Program, well, you have to sever all ties.
I'll never see you again, will I?
No. Look, you wanna take care of my compass for me?
She places it in his hand.
That way you'll never lose your way again.
They hug and close their eyes.
I love you, Richie.
I know it's why I love you, too. You better go to your mama. Okay?
Mark turns to leave, then looks back at Reggie and smiles.
I'll call you.
Roy rushes to Reggie as Mark boards the plane.
The body is behind Romy Clifford's house, in his boathouse, 1214 East Brookline. Oh, my.
Fink and others hurry away.
Did very well, Ms. Love.
Reggie. Thank you, Roy.
Oh, you forgot one thing. You should have demanded immunity for your illegal actions.
He grins. She reaches behind his ear and reveals a small cassette tape.
An eye for an eye. Exodus 2124.
Let me tell you something. When I get to be governor of Louisiana, do you want a job?
I got one, thank you.
Showtime, Roy.
Oh.
She adjusts his tie and he looks down.
Thank you, Reggie.
Thank Mark.
Roy and his men walk briskly through the hangar. She hugs herself as Clint joins her.
Hey.
Reporters begin to gather around Roy.
Hey, don't come on over here and gather around if you will, please. After what I must say has been an exhaustive investigation on our part, we are able to make the solemn announcement that we have recovered the body of Senator Boyd Poirier.
The jet lifts off at sunset. Ricky is sleeping. Mark straightens a blanket over his brother, then looks out the window and slowly waves. Reggie and Clint walk away with their arms around each other.
He's quite a kid.
Don't tell him he's a kid. He'll get ticked off.
Mark turns back to his brother, whose face is glowing in the sunlight. He smiles slightly as he gazes at Ricky. The jet flies over clouds into the sunset. Narrative script written by Jessica Harper and narrated by Susan Crane for the Emmy Award-winning Narrative Television Network. Special thanks to the U.S. Department of Education.